Welcome to Online for Authors, where I, Terry M. Brown, author of character-driven fiction and host of the podcast, introduce readers to characters they'd love to invite to lunch by interviewing authors, discussing their books, learning about the writing process, and even, on occasion, chatting live with a panel of authors to discuss topics relevant to both readers and writers. My guest today on Online for Authors is Louise Davis, author of the book Haunted by You. Louise is a powerful up-and-coming young adult author with an innate ability to draw readers into her stories using dramatic realism. I found Haunted by You to be a delightful YA fiction that is a perfect mixture of suspense and clean romance, and I learned when interviewing Louise that this is part of a trilogy. Genevieve is a teenage girl who falls for Steve, a student at a private school in Charleston, as well as a ghost tour guide. However, their budding romance has to take a back seat to what Genevieve learns about her father. He's being blackmailed. Davis does a good job introducing us to the characters and providing enough details to make us look in all the wrong directions for the blackmailer. And although the ending wraps up nicely, there is plenty of room for more. Welcome to Online for Authors. Today we have Louise Davis, who is the author of Haunted by You. Welcome, Louise.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you. I really enjoyed your book. But before we get into that, let's give our listeners a little hint as to what Haunted by You is about.
Okay. So I always struggle with this because I want to make sure I don't give any spoilers.
Exactly.
I'm doing this. But Haunted by You is about two teens who one of them is dealing with some issues from his past. And the other one, she's had pretty much a perfect life up until this book starts. So they meet. It's their love story, but it's also full of suspense for Genevieve is one of the main characters. Her father is getting blackmailed, and she is trying to figure out by who, what for, and Steve, the other main character, is trying to help. And anyway, just it takes you for a ride.
It does definitely take you for a ride. So I want to know, like, how did this story come about? What prompted you? So you live in Idaho, but this story is set in Charleston. Like completely yes. The opposite side of the country, you know, and I'm just curious, like, what prompted the idea behind the story and the location and everything? Let's kind of get a behind the scenes here.
Okay. Yeah. So it was actually a couple things. So the end climax scene of the story, I wrote in one of my college creative writing classes with a prompt. So there was a prompt that we had to write a little story about. It ended up being my final, and it was too long to be a short story, but too short to be anything else,
right?
And the prompt helped me get it written, but my husband and I lived in Charleston area for a couple of years. That's where my oldest son was born. And we went on a ghost tour. We went on the haunted jail tour. And so when I got this prompt later, when I was doing my creative writing class, that tour just came back. Two parts to that question. That's how I got it there.
Well, that's interesting. I have been to Charleston. I live about 2.5 hours from Charleston. So I live on the coast of North Carolina. In Calabash. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before. It's right above North Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we went to Myrtle Beach once
while
we lived there.
So I've been on a ghost tour. I'm trying to remember which one I went on. I don't even remember. Oh, it was the ship. You went on the ship one at night.
That one looks fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I went on it with my daughter who's like rolling her eyes and says, you know, there's no such thing as ghosts. And we heard things. I know I heard things. And she kept saying, you know, they're just piping it in. And I'm going,
I don't know. Like in the haunted jail tour, there's like like I put in the book, there are certain rooms that you walk into and you're like, this room doesn't feel right. Yeah. There's something wrong here.
Yeah.
So
I know.
I don't know for sure, but it definitely is creepy.
I love that you have taken things that you experienced in your own life and have added them to this book. That's fabulous. Thanks. Why YA and not some other genre?
So I've always loved YA.
Okay.
It's you know, clean, fun, easy read. But they also usually, lots of YA delves into deeper topics and really makes you feel. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've just always been a fan of YA.
So, you know, I was saying that to someone the other day, that YA reminds me of kind of the cozy adult books, except that it has more substance. Because yeah, for some reason, in a YA book, in my opinion, they're willing to touch on topics that a lot of times adults are afraid to touch on. You know, they're willing to look at things like racism or you know, something that is like the big topic of the day that adults tiptoe around and are afraid to use the words and afraid to explore the concept. And YA is kind of more willing to just say, here's the topic and we're going to take a look. And then, like I said, it's done in that nice, clean, cozy kind of way where you don't have to be, you know, addressed by all of the foul language and the, you know, sex for no reason and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
And I've had friends who say they don't like YA because the emotions are so big. But I'm like, do you remember when you were a teenager? Your emotions are big.
Exactly.
Everything's big.
Exactly. Well, you know,
everything is drastic.
When I think so I'm an older adult. I just turned 60. And I still have big emotions. I've just learned what to do with them.
Yep.
You know, I don't think my emotions have changed significantly since I was, you know, a young adult. I just have learned that, you know, people might not want to see them. So,
we've learned how to process and react.
And react in a way that you know, the world wants you to. But if you saw me in my bathroom in the middle of the night, you know, doing my crying or whatever, you would say, well, there she is looking like a teenager or looking like a young adult. Right. So,
We're still in there.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the age has come and some wisdom has come, but the emotions, I think, are still just as big. In addition to YA, what genre do you say this book is?
So they classified it as romantic suspense.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, you've read it.
Yes.
You can tell me if you think I'm right. I really think that the plot is really like 50% suspense and 50% romance.
Yeah.
I really tried to entwine them and weave them in there.
Yeah.
And so it's not really more one or the other.
I agree. I looked on Amazon and kind of was saying, well, what are they calling it? And they've got down ghost stories. What else did they have down? Clean romance, you know, that kind of thing. And I thought, that makes sense. And it isn't a romance story necessarily in the way that you think of like a romance with the they fall in love and then they fall apart. And there is some of that in there, but it doesn't necessarily follow a strict romance, you know. You know what I mean? Pathway, you know?
Yeah.
And then it does have the thriller kind of aspect in it where you're always wondering like who's going to do what next and why, you know, and what are their motivations, which I really enjoyed.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. No, it was great. So tell me a little bit about your writing journey. When did you start writing? Is this your first book? How long did it take you to get this book out? All of the things that people want to know about authors.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have had stories in me for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I started writing when I couldn't even write. I would tell my mom what to write down and draw the pictures and she'd staple it together and I had my little book. But I didn't get really into writing until I decided to creative writing in college.
Mm-hmm.
And in college, I wrote several children's books manuscripts and then this climax scene of Haunted by You. And then, you know, I got married, had kids, life happened. And so it just kind of sat on the back burner for a while. But it was always, you know, you got to do something with this right, in the back right. of my mind. So my first one I did was a children's book called Grandpa's Boots. It came out in 2018.
Okay.
It is fiction, but based off of my time helping my grandpa on his ranch in Hawaii. So that was that's my first book, but Haunted by You is my first novel.
Okay.
And so in 2020, when everything shut down, I decided that I was going to finish writing Haunted by You off of that short story. The short story was originally written in third person.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked where it was going, but, you know, it wasn't my favorite. So I decided I was going to switch it into first person. Because I felt like with first person, I feel like I can get those emotions out
easier. Right.
So I switched it to first person. And then I wrote, I think it was like the first five chapters, and I just stalled. I didn't know. I knew where the end was. I had that written.
Right.
But I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is boring. Like, I don't know. This is not what I was wanting this to be. And so I sat on it for a little bit, and I have some really good writing friends and writing groups.
Super.
And they were really encouraging, but I was like, there's something missing. So I decided to hire a writing coach,
mm-hmm.
Ashley Mansour. And she was great. So she taught me her TAP method that she created, which is time, accountability, and process. And anyway, once I took her class with a group of people, which was also great to have that community behind me.
Right.
And then her TAP method really helps you outline your book well. Mm-hmm. So I got that all done. And so when I actually started writing, I rewrote the climax scene again. So from start to finish, I ended up writing that first draft in 18 days.
Yeah.
When I had been sitting on it for like 15 years.
Right, right.
But as you know, like editing and revision obviously took a lot longer. But,
exactly.
So I finished that first draft in March of last year.
Fantastic. And then the book came out in October of this year. Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic. So the process is amazing, and different people do different things. So it sounds to me like you're more of a plotter, that you like to have the outline before you get started.
I used to be a pantser. I am for sure now 1000% a plotter.
Okay. And I am very much a pantser, who is learning a little bit about plotting. And in my current manuscript, I am using, it's a book called Save the Cat, Writes a Novel.
Yes.
Okay. I tell people that it hasn't changed my pantsing that much, but it's kind of keeping me in a lane instead of me bumbling all around and not knowing. I kind of like bump into those guardrails and say, oh, this is about time that I should do something like this here, you know?
Yeah.
And then I can go back and say, oh, in order to have done that, I really needed to have done something here. And I think potentially it's going to keep me from having significant edits. I'm going to have edits. We always have edits, but I mean, like, significant manuscript changes.
Yes.
Because I kind of have like just a guidepost. I still have no idea where this manuscript is going. I don't know what the end is. I haven't done all of the plot points or anything, but I feel like I have guardrails this time instead of just that wandering around in the wilderness. Yeah.
So I do let my pantser side come out a little bit. So I have my, my outline, but I do let my characters, I don't have like any specifics about their conversations or what they're going to do exactly. So I do let my characters take me where it's going to go. And I tell my husband, I was like, well, we went on a side quest today that wasn't part of the plan, but it's in there now.
There
but
it is.
Yeah. the outline, when you kind of brought it up, the main thing I like about the outline is that I can see plot holes before I write it.
Yeah.
So that really helps. It does reduce the revisions.
Yes. So for me, I've noticed that I don't necessarily see the plot hole before I write it, but as soon as I've gotten to a particular point, I recognize, oh, I need more information. And I backtrack a little and add a few things. And then it's like, oh, there it goes. That feels so much better, yes. Which I didn't do before. Before I would get all the way through and I would just write and write and write and get all the way through. And then I would have to go back and say, okay, it needs work here and it needs work here and it needs work. And it would be some pretty major revision. You know, So that's interesting. You say that you have had, so you have mentors and people how did you find your writing groups? If you weren't writing before, like where did these writer friends come from?
So one of them, who is actually my editor now, I met her in creative writing classes in college.
Okay.
So I've known her for a while. And then one of my other writing friends in my group, we met when I lived in Spokane, and it wasn't through writing. We just became friends and then we were both writers. And so it worked out and she's been a great resource. Her name is Susan Shepherd. She's awesome. And then Joanna, I met her during Ashley's, in that group that I was with Ashley Mansour.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's my little group that I'm with. And then I just started the Writing with the Soul workshop by Adrienne Young. So I'm excited to get into that community as well.
Yeah. I think that as a writer, having a community is really helpful because there are people who've done things that you haven't gotten to yet. And they can offer their experience for you. And then there are things that you've experienced that you can pass on to other people. It's just a wonderful.
It's super nice when you're like, help. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What do I do?
And then I've also made some really, really great writing friends off of the Bookstagram community. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I've made some really, really good friends on there that have just been super supportive. And it's amazing how writers will support other writers. And I just love the community.
I love the writer community. You know, when you think about the number of books that are out there and how difficult it is to make a living as an author, you would think that authors would be more closed about their successes and not be offering their advice and kind of like hoarding it. And instead, what you see are people who are willing to share just about everything. In terms of how they got this or what they did to go here or even here's the name of my literary agent or here's the name of my editor or here's the name of the person who did my book cover. People are just so willing to share. And I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. And I've seen it on there so many times that we're not competing against each other.
No.
Readers are going to read. An avid reader reads books so many times, like so many books that you don't have to feel like one person is stealing your reader.
Exactly.
So, I mean, and like, if you can't tell behind me, I'm an avid reader. Yeah. I mean, I ran out of shelf space. I have stacks everywhere.
Right.
I need more shelves to keep all my books.
I agree. I'm an avid reader too. I probably read a book a week. And I would read more, but I'm also writing and podcasting and, you know, living, you know, like life and like you are, I mean, you know, so I read that you have 5 boys, which I think is amazing. And you live on a ranch in Idaho, right?
So, yeah, it's a small, it's 3 acres, but we have llamas and horse and dogs and cats.
Fantastic. So that's interesting. I'm curious, what does your family think of this thing called being an author? Like, are they really supportive? Do they kind of roll their eyes at it? Where are they stand with all of it?
So my husband and boys are super supportive. Super. And they've been great when I'm like, okay, I am on a deadline. I really have to go write. I need to disappear in my office for a little bit. They're good. And they've been great. My husband is not a reader. He has not read Haunted by You yet, but he is planning to. He listens to audiobooks. So I'm glad that he's willing to read it, but his copy, my son was reading. So, but my 15-year-old read it and loved it. My others are too young, but on launch day, they all wore a Haunted by You shirt to school. So anyway, they've been great.
Fantastic. What about parents, extended family, everybody on board with you being an author?
Yeah, I think there are some of them that are kind of like, what is she doing? Get a real job. Yeah. But I'm like, this is a real job. It just takes a little while to
make it something.
Yeah,
right.
To do something with it. Right. But my mom has been super supportive, and my stepdad, he's 70 almost, and he was funny because he was like, I wasn't sure I was gonna like this, like romance, teenagers,
right?
No,
right.
But then he told me, he's like, I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning reading because I had to find out what happened. So they've been super supportive.
That's awesome. That's always a good feeling to have the family around behind you. I love the fact though that he's like, I'm not real sure this is going to be my cup of tea, and then ends up just really enjoying it. Yeah. So I tend not to read a lot of YA. I don't know why. I don't think it's an aversion. I just think that a lot doesn't come across. I'm a historical fiction mostly is what I write. And so I read a lot of historical fiction. And a lot of people suggest historical fiction to me. So I've tended to be a little more closed off. And since starting this podcast, I'm now reading a much wider variety, and I love it. And yeah. I now I'm recommending to everyone, don't get stuck in a genre. Look outside the genre, because there's so many fabulous books out there. And then especially, I think, as a writer, to read outside of your genre helps you develop skills that you might not have.
Yeah, I agree.
See things, find how different authors do their plots, you know, recognize if you find a plot hole in what you would have done differently, all of the things that you do now, you know. So I'm curious, when you read, are you able just to read the book and enjoy the book, or are you analyzing it as you go?
It depends. So I love so many different genres. So I read all over the place. And so that's the hardest question for me is when someone says, what's your favorite book? And
I'm I don't have one. Yeah.
how about the top five in each genre?
Yeah.
I could maybe answer that. But yeah, so there are some books that I just get sucked in the story. And, you know, even if I see things that weren't exactly what I would have done, I can just go past it. And then there's some that I'm like,
ooh,
maybe you should have edited this another time. Which, Haunted by You, we even after it had gone through 6 rounds of editing, we found more typos during the arcs, and we had to revise it. So I'm like, at some point, you know, you just got
to
be like, okay.
At some point, you just have to say it's as good as it's going to get. Right.
Yeah.
So. I always find it interesting. I've had people come up to me and say things like, oh, I found an error on page 252. And I say, thank you. And I take note of it, because if I have an opportunity to fix it after I've used up the books that I've already ordered, you know, I'll gladly go in and do that. But I kind of laugh, because it's like, I suspect page 252 isn't the only page with an error.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone over it. I've had professional proofreaders go over it. I've had ARC readers go over it. And still on page 252 is an error, you know, and
our brains are amazing, but because they are amazing, they just add in the words that
they
are supposed to be there. And
they
so
do.
You just,
they add in words, they change the spelling in your mind, they do whatever they need to do to make that work. And someone will say, you know, you missed the word he. And you look, it's like, well, would you look at that?
Yeah. And you're I've only read that 500 times.
Seriously. So I have a book coming out in January. It was all done, all uploaded, all ready to go. And today I had an ARC reader say to me, are you aware that you have a date wrong in your chapter heading on chapter 13?
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? And I went and looked, and lo and behold, I have 1893 when it should be 1863.
Oh, man.
That's pretty significant, that 30 years. And so I had to get up with my publisher today and say, how can we get this changed? I was just about to order my, like, 100 hard copies. Oh, and man. I'm so glad I didn't, yeah. because now it's like, we can get that fixed before I order.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
but,
it's amazing. Like, even in the big five publishers, I'll be reading yeah. books and I find errors. It's just, you cannot catch in that no. many words. You cannot no. catch every single.
No. And I've gotten thing. To the point, I don't worry about it anymore. It is what it is. And when someone finds an error, I make a list. And before I order my next batch of books, I get it. I change that. And I figure then we'll find more. You know, it's just,
yep.
we're going to have first edition, second edition. Someday when I'm famous, it'll be really exciting to have that to first edition with the wrong date. Yeah.
yeah.
That's great. So you just finished this book. Now what?
Well, exciting news. I finished my first draft of book two yesterday, actually.
Just yesterday. Fantastic.
Yesterday. First draft. So
right.
now we're headed into the developmental and all that fun. All that yeah. fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so is this a continuation of this book, or is it something yes. with new characters?
Yes. So, Haunted by You, there are three sisters.
Right.
And so this series will be three books, each sister's love story.
Oh,
so
fun.
Haunted by You is Genevieve's love story. Book two, which we haven't released the title yet, is still got to get finalized with the publisher.
That's fine.
But book two is Violet's.
Okay.
Love story.
All right.
So,
fantastic.
And but did you, the story from book one continues.
Continues.
It just switches point of view.
Did you have that idea in mind when you started, or is that something that came to you after to do a series?
It came to me. It was still while I was revising Haunted by You.
Okay.
And I was like, there's so much that I want to know about the other sisters. It'd be fun to have their stories as well. And then when I was ending Haunted by You, I wasn't sure if it was going to happen or not. So
right.
I tried to tie up everything, but I left one big thing open. But I tried to make it to where if it ended up being a standalone, readers would be
satisfied okay enough.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Super. That's something I have not tried is a series. I am, and I think part of it is it's my own issue. I get bored, and I'm yeah. afraid I'm going to get bored with my characters. I like how yours is going to be essentially similar, but focused more. Like the first one focused so much on Genevieve, and mm-hmm. Violet was there, but a very minor character. And so yeah. in a lot of ways, it's almost like writing a new book.
Yeah, it really you know, is.
Because
Genevieve is still there, and so is Steve, but it's Violet, who's totally different person. She, like you said, she was pretty absent in book one because she was
right.
away. Anyway, so it's been fun getting into Violet's head, and her love interest actually was briefly introduced in book one.
Ooh, now I'm going to have to go back and figure out where that was because I don't remember it. Oh, yeah,
so,
I'm going to have to go back and look. Okay.
So he doesn't have a whole lot to do with Violet in book one, but
he's
anyway.
There and yeah. we hear of
he's
him
there
isn't
I, briefly
and I love that when authors do that. I have a friend who writes mystery, and she'll like let this little tiny tidbit go in chapter three, and it matters way down the line.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to the end and you think, I forgot about that, but it's been there the whole time. It's like once you know, then it's glaring. So I love when an author has that ability to plant little things that pull up later. That's
yeah. I'm trying to keep it like exciting, let people guess who they think it is. But as soon as the blurb gets released,
they'll know exactly who it was.
But
that's okay, because in the meantime, you can create the buzz, which is always
yeah.
good. When do you hope that this book will be out?
So it's scheduled to release in October.
Okay, awesome. So a year from the last one. Yeah,
yep.
Fantastic. And we don't know the name yet. And then you're going to do the third book, and I'm assuming you'll try to do that a year later as well. Is that kind of the goal?
That's the goal, right. And it will be Connie's love story, the third sister.
Right, right. Now, when you're done with the three sisters, have you considered where you're going next?
So I have, it's still YA, a dystopian.
Okay, idea.
Yeah, an idea that I've just really been wanting to write for a while now. So even before I started actually really, really writing Haunted by You. So it will definitely be next.
Isn't that great? I have a whole list of ideas. Like I'll be out walking on the beach and an idea will come to me and I'll write it down. And I have more ideas than I'm ever going to get to. But when I'm done writing a particular manuscript, I go and sit and start looking over those ideas. And it's like, which one is really speaking to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I think it's great that you have another book to write and already know where the one after that's going to be. Like you already know.
And I'm super excited for it. It'll be totally different from what I have been writing. But
right. Which will be fun. There's something about changing things up a little, you know, and trying something different. Do you think you'll ever write? So you wrote a children's book, which, by the way, you and I are going to have to talk about, because I have an idea for a children's book and I'd love to like pick your brain a little and see how that went.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay. But do you have any intention of ever writing anything other than YA? Do you think you'll ever go outside of the YA?
So I do have a series that has already, children's book series, that three books have already been like professionally edited, ready to go. They're just not illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I do eventually want to pick them back up because they're fun and I really like them.
Okay.
But as for moving from like YA to middle grade or adult, probably not.
Probably not.
Who knows what will happen in the future.
Well, that's true. That is true.
For now, I think I do like the children's books. And I think it's because I have so many little kids. I'm reading children's books all the time right now.
Right.
And then I just love YA. So, but I won't say no. Who knows what?
Yes.
Who knows what will happen in the future?
So what's interesting is I've written three historical fiction. I tell everyone, though, that they're more character-driven than they are historical fiction. Like, the historical fiction is simply because of setting. You know, it's not really the reason for the story. But what I'm writing right now is so significantly different that I tell people I'm afraid I may be committing author suicide. Because I have gone from historical fiction, third person, three points of view kind of story to modern day, first person, present tense, one point of view comedy.
Oh, I love it. Do it.
And it's what I'm writing right now. I have this character who has been in my head insisting that her story be told. And I'm just doing it. I'm just going to do it. You know,
I've noticed some of my favorite authors, you know, they stick in their genre and they don't do anything different. But then I have some favorite authors who write contemporary and they write fantasy and I like all their stuff. So.
Well, my hope is that if you like character-driven fiction, that you'll go with my characters wherever I happen to put them. Yes. And this one happens to be, so she's a woman in her early 50s, recently divorced, going through menopause, and all of the issues that she's experiencing it. And it's funny. It's just funny. You know, it's all about the weight gain and the bingo arm wings and the chin hairs and the things that just like come out of nowhere. And it's a humorous look at something that all women have to go through. And there's a little bit of romance, but it isn't going to follow the romance arc. So it's not like a romantic comedy, but I tell everyone it's a comedy with a side of romance is kind of what it's going to be, you know? I like that idea of kind of, I don't know, going where your brain takes you.
Takes you.
Yeah.
Well, because if it's what you're feeling and wanting to do at that moment, trying to force something else is going to make it to where it doesn't
it doesn't feel right. Yeah. Well, and I think that it won't, it isn't going to satisfy that need that you have to do the writing. If you're feeling like I've got to write another historical fiction and it's not what I want to do, it becomes more work, you know? And I love the writing process, and it isn't really fun if you're being forced to do something that you don't want to do. And then it becomes like going to school and being forced to write an essay that no one ever wanted to write.
Yes, exactly. I did start to feel a little bit like that in this last writing, and I think I was just getting a little bit burnt out because I was launching Haunted by You and deadline for this one, and I'm like, oh my goodness,
and a boy mom of five.
Yeah, they keep me busy.
just saying boy mom of five, it just like makes my eyes, you know. So yeah,
they're fun, but they definitely keep me busy.
Well, they keep you busy, and then you know, I don't know how you find the time to write with children, just because I hardly find time to write with a husband and a dog. My kids are grown and moved out, and I still have trouble writing because I'll hear the dryer ding, or I'll realize, oh man, I got to go get dinner or whatever. Yeah. And then when you throw five children into the mix, the fact that you're going to write a book a year, I mean, bravo for you.
Thanks. I have had to make certain hours. And luckily my youngest went to kindergarten this year.
That
and
helped.
That helped. I wrote Haunted by You with him still at home. And thankfully I have some awesome friends and family who would take him for a few hours, a few days of the week, so that I could write for a couple hours without
interruption.
Without interruption.
or worry that they're off doing something that you don't want them doing, right?
And he was a troublemaker. So but he went to kindergarten this year, and so we have set like a strict schedule. This is my writing time. So my husband knows, like, can't schedule something that I need Caitlin to be, oh, I just said my real name, Louise, to be doing while I'm during those hours.
Right. Okay. So that's good that you have that. It's interesting. My husband is 100% for me to do what I'm doing, and believes that he does not bother me when I'm writing.
But he does. Mine does that a little bit too. If he's home and not at work,
I'll be in writing and all of a sudden I feel him standing right here, and he's silent.
He's not bugging you.
No, and I'll turn and he'll say, when you have time, I have something, I need your help in the garage. Okay. Oh, so we're both retired and, you know, or of retirement age, and he's retired and I'm, you know, writing, but I'm not working outside of the home in any way. And it's like, okay, so I have time right now because you've already interrupted me. We might as well just, you know, and so just I'll get up and go to the garage and take care of things and sit back down. And, you know, 30 minutes later, there's the presence right there again. And it's like,
I love it.
And then if I say to him something about, you know, really trying not to bother me while I'm working, he says, oh, I know, I'm very good about that. And you think, well, not as good as you think you are.
Yeah, I know. There's times like when I'm really needing to do something, I'm like, okay, like, don't even knock on the door.
Right.
Nothing.
When my children were little, I was not a fiction author at the time, but I was writing for small businesses. And I also homeschooled. So my kids were like in the midst of everything that I was doing all the time. And we had a red light, green light system on my office door. And if it was a green light, that meant come and go as you please, bother me whenever you want. Whatever I'm doing is probably more of a busy work kind of thing that I can stop. If the light is yellow, mommy is actually working. Think about it. Is another person in the house able to help you? Because that would be best if you could wait. But if not, please come in. And the red light was, unless the house is on fire or there's blood, do not bother me.
I love that. Yeah. I need to implement that system.
You know, and what was great about, I didn't use the red light often because then it loses its, you know, but when it was red, they knew. You could even hear sometimes out in the hall, you know, a debate with them going, no, it's red. It's not, there's no blood. You know? All right. So how could people who want to know more about Louise Davis and your book, Haunted by You, and your new books that are coming out, how can they get in touch with you?
So my website is louisedavisbooks.com. And on there, you can subscribe to my newsletter. I send out once a month. And my newsletter subscribers get sneak peeks that nobody else does. Or they'll get it before it's released on social media.
Right.
And then I'm also on Louise Davis Books on Instagram.
Okay.
And I'm pretty active on Instagram. And then Facebook, it's just Louise Davis.
Fantastic. So my very last question for you is there anything that you wished that I had asked that I didn't?
That's a good question. I don't know. One thing I guess is to go deeper into Haunted by You. Originally, I just wanted, to have this fun, suspenseful story. But then before I started writing again, my dad passed away. Mm-hmm. And I realized I wanted Haunted by You to go much deeper than I originally had planned. And so I really hope that readers, after they read Haunted by You, come away with a sense of that the relationships that we make in life are important. And the small moments are really actually the big moments.
Exactly.
In life. And
fantastic. I love a book with a message. And I think most authors, even ones that write something lighthearted, like my lighthearted book that I'm writing right now, has messages. Mm-hmm. And I think there's things that we're trying to impart. That's why we write. We have something inside that needs to come out. And
I was telling, I actually posted about it right after launch of Haunted by You. I was like, you know, it's out there in the world now for people to love or hate, right. You know, criticize or praise. But it has parts of me in it. Like, I am in this book.
Right.
So it's like me giving part of myself out to the world.
Which is both amazing and terrifying.
It is. Yes.
Isn't it?
Everybody asks me, how are you feeling? I'm like, I'm really excited and I'm really scared.
Yeah. There's like, just
together.
There's something about that idea of like the first person that was taking my book where I saw them. I am handing it to them. I had trouble letting it go.
Yeah.
Because it was like, if they hate this, it's almost like hating me because I am so intertwined in this book. I've since come to recognize that there is no book that fits every person and that there will be people who don't like it. And that's perfectly acceptable. Perfectly acceptable. But it's still a little painful when someone says, not for me, you know?
I know, and everybody says, don't read the bad reviews. And I'm like, okay, but how do you not?
Yeah, I read them all. I read them all. And at first, the bad ones really bothered me. And now I really have come to that. I remind myself, not every book is for every person. I have read books that I did not care for. It doesn't mean the book wasn't good. It meant that I didn't choose a good book for me. That's all it meant.
Exactly.
That's all it meant. And
I used to be a lot harsher when I was reviewing books. But as I've been an author and, you know, I've seen how much like work goes into a book. Yes. It literally takes over your life for a while. And so now as I'm able to differentiate, this book just wasn't for me. I didn't really personally like the story, but it wasn't written bad.
It just wasn't my kind of book.
My cup of tea. And so, yeah, I've learned to like differentiate.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, the things that are said about a book, it's like, well, that's not really about the book. That's just a personal mm-hmm. opinion personal about preference. You didn't care for the character because they did something that you would never do in your own life. But that doesn't mean that the character was written poorly. It just means you prefer not to have that kind of story, you know? So there is a difference. I like that. I've noticed that what I do now for reviews is I review a book if I like it, and I tend to not say much of anything if I don't.
Yeah.
You know,
that's how I am.
Yeah. Unless the book is just truly horrific. And then even then I'd be more likely to reach.
Sorry.
That's all right. I'd be more likely to reach out to the author personally if I thought that there was something that maybe they could do to help in the future. But yeah. I'm not likely to put anything out there because more than likely the book just wasn't meant for me.
Yeah.
You know. And you know, that's the way it goes. Well, wonderful, yeah. Louise. Thank you so much for being on. And remember, you can reach her at louisedavisbooks.com, right? And Louise Davis Books on Instagram. Thank you so much for being with us today.
And thank you.
Thank you for listening to Online for Authors, where I, Terry M. Brown, author of character-driven fiction and host of the podcast, introduce readers to characters they'd love to invite to lunch. Tune in next Tuesday for another podcast episode.